Today is Pentecost. Now, I imagine today is kind of one of those days where you want to just go out and have a nice relaxing time and kick back and maybe have a nice cool refreshment and just enjoy the day, right? Kind of like after you spent the day working in the yard, whether you're working in the garden or if you're cutting grass, and you know, it's a warm day and there's nothing better than when you're all done to look at everything and just kind of, and you kick back and you enjoy that nice cold beer or whatever it is, and you think, wow, this is wonderful. I'm thinking that maybe Jared's thinking that maybe he's come to a place where, you know, he's worked at this for a while, and he's ready to say, I've gotten through it. Those meetings with Daniel and meeting with the pastors and going to a different church and doing all these things and talking with your parents about your faith. You know what I want to say to you, Jared? If you want to run, you better run now. Because I'm going to tell you something. For all of us, if you heard that first reading, we oftentimes associate the Spirit as being this very gentle breeze that just kind of moves among us and brings healing and wholeness. And it's this kind of But that's not what we hear today. We hear that it's a violent wind that blows, a sound of a rushing wind that comes in. A wind that will change the world. Can you imagine James and John, you know, after, you know, Jesus, basically when he died and then he rose and ascended into heaven, and they just thought, well, what do we do now, you know? It was a good run. You know, 3 years of being with our Lord, and he kind of taught us some good things, and we could, you know, we could take that and use it in our life, and you know, maybe this is the time we should go back to be with Dad and eventually take over the family business and fish for the rest of our lives. But that wasn't the case, was it? Because you know, that wind, that rush of that wind, that day in which they were gathered in the room that they had been hiding, would consume them, and it would push them, and not just a gentle push, it was a shove, the kind of shove that every once in a while you and I need to kind of get ourselves woken up to the fact that we need to do something now. We can't wait. And that's the spirit that we are confronting today, the spirit that helps us to see this odd sight of people who speak many different languages, and we're all hearing the same thing being said and being spoken. Can you imagine if you are able to do that very thing out there in the community? It doesn't matter how you speak it, but because you speak the language of Jesus, people will understand. Because the Spirit opens their ears. The Spirit pushed those disciples into ways that they never even fathomed. And suddenly we see Peter speak in the midst of this crowd that had gathered together. And they were mocking and sneering at them, saying, oh, they're drunk, you know, they've been partying too hard, they've a little loose upstairs. And Peter says, no. Peter, you know, the leader of a very dysfunctional bunch. These people were from all over, and they were not perfect individuals. They were people that were just like you and I, and there were all these kinds of things that went on. You've heard the stories over and over and over again, and yet there's this sense of relegating this group of individuals as if they're over here and really can't be here, because they were with our Lord. And yet when you hear their stories and you hear how Peter fumbled from time to time and yet at the same moment could make great statements, when we hear how they could become a group of individuals so fearful for their lives they hid, even after Jesus told them how many times this was going to happen, These were individuals who would deny him and would doubt him. And they just were a really strange bunch of guys and women. But the Holy Spirit did something to them that brought them together, overlooking all their individualities and saying to them, you are the ones who will testify. You will bring my message to the world. And you know, if you read the scriptures, if you understand it, you know that God works through some pretty strange characters, people who don't want to be a part of his plan. Think of all the Old Testament prophets and how they ran away every time God would say, hey, I want you. And every time they would run away, they couldn't get too far. And I want to suggest to you that that's us. I want to suggest to you that the malaise that you may experience in the Christian community or even here at St. Luke's is it's not God. It's not that the Holy Spirit isn't working. It's we've gotten a little bit lackadaisical. Not a little bit, but a lot. And we tend to forget what it is that God has in plan for us. We long for the nostalgia days, the days when the church was full, and we long for when things were like this and things were like that, and we think what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with the community, and we sit and we worry and we just let things kind of slide by. When all along in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts and now in the Gospel of John, they use different words, but it's the same one in many ways. At the end of Acts, Jesus says to the disciples and to those that are gathered around, you are my witnesses. And he says it again in Acts. And then he says in this reading from his final days with the disciples before he is crucified, he says that you are to testify to these things. To witness, to testify is not a passive activity. It is one that requires us to move and to trust that the Spirit is behind all the activities that are going on. It is our ability to remove ourselves from the equation and understand God working through us. So that we overcome political boundaries, we overcome cultural settings, we overcome sexual divisions. And that we can point to those things in this world that need to be pointed to and brought to the attention of the world that says, hey, this isn't right. There was a time in through the 17th century in England where the belief was that the color red would bring healing. And so what they would do is, you know, if somebody was ill, they would bring all red-colored things into the room as a way of helping to promote that healing. Now, you know, what do you say? Today, that seems kind of crazy. But, you know, when you think about it, when you see people wearing red, when you see the color red, it kind of stirs something within. You know, and for us as a church, red is the color of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Red is the color of the martyr's blood. Red is the fire of the flames that lit upon the heads of all those that were gathered on that first Pentecost. Maybe we need to wear more red. What do they say? If you're somebody who buys a red car, just be careful how you drive. Because the police seem to have an affection for people driving in red cars. Maybe it is. Maybe there is something about that, you know, to be a little dashing and daring and you know, you ride around in a red sporty car and you know, people kind of draws their attention to there you are, this bright red vehicle going down the road. But I want you to think about just being adorned with Christ. And I want you to think about the fact that God has given us this gift of the Spirit that violently moves us, that rushes us, that pushes us, that moment, that times where we want to say, I don't think so, God. And God says, well, sorry, but you are. And the times that the Spirit isn't all that gentle, where it shoves us out into that world, sometimes confronting things that we choose that we would rather not. And we are constantly challenged in this world, in this day. And when we begin to say, well, we need more kids, or we need this, or we need that, then be the first one to step up and say, hey, I can do something about that. I'm willing to assist. I'm willing to do this. Because God is calling me to help. When we see how the world treats each other, there is no place for a complacent church. There is no place for a silence to be emitted from a community such as St. Luke's or any other Christian community or the church as a whole. When there is hunger, we are the ones who should speak out. We are the ones who should be the first ones there. We are the ones who are pushed by the Spirit to make sure people are fed. When there is people who are homeless, that we find places for them to be. When there is subjugation of certain peoples or of women or whatever it is, we are the ones who are called to speak out and say, enough! And when we are the ones who think that I know best, the me in me, we also need to say enough to that. You know, in comparison to the Christian community, you know, the church is over 2,000 years old, and really, St. Luke's is in its infancy. We're only 36 when you think about it. And so we are a lot like newborns. You know, we cry out when we need to be fed, and we want to be loved by our parents, and we want to be, you know, we want the attention. God, help me. God, do this for me. God, I need this. And that's a natural human response. But in the midst of our spiritual growing, we begin to learn that God has already done these things. What Jared is about to do today is saying yes to a yes that God already has said to him. You are my child. I accept you. I want you to be a part of my fold. I love you. And now, as an adult, he affirms that. And that's something that we do every day. Recognizing more and more that it is no longer what is my desire, but of what is the desire of God for us in this world. Where is St. Luke's in Grand Rapids? And who are we supposed to be? Is it a group of 500 individuals who come together and we do whatever it is that the vocal majority says that we do? Or is it what we do because Christ is in our midst? And we do it because this is where God would have us. The disciples on the first Pentecost grew up a lot that day. Little did they know, and I'm sure there was a feeling of, well, maybe it didn't work out the way that we really wanted it to after Jesus left them. Maybe it's not so bad to just go back to the way things was, because at least we knew what that was like. You remember what the Israelites said in the midst of their exile and as they were being delivered from there? And they began to complain after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, saying, well, at least we had food back in Egypt. And they forgot all about their travails and their troubles and the fact that they were enslaved. They found it much more difficult to experience freedom than it was to be enslaved. It It is a challenge out there. But you know, God has given you the gifts that are necessary for you to be able to share in the goodness and the love of Christ. God has given you all that is necessary to help you step away from what you think you need to focusing on the needs of others. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, when we're facing crises and grief and hurt and pain, that those aren't relevant in our lives, because they are. They're very much a part of who we are. And there are times that we need to be able to focus on the you or the me. But God has called us together as a community to live as one. And we accept and we receive Jared into this community of faith that recognizes that God tosses us and moves us about and sometimes does the unexpected, but we greet it head on because we have the Holy Spirit on our side. As individuals, when we go out in this world, just like the disciples, there will be those who will question, there will be those who doubt, there will be those who will ridicule, there will be those who will try to tell you that faith has nothing to do with life. But you know different. And there are ways in which we can lovingly respond to being able to share in the good news of Jesus Christ. Today is a special day. It is a day of new life. God is breathing the life into all of us. And God has told us and tells us again how much he loves us. And now he once again reminds us through the gospel that you will testify to these things. And today, Jared testifies in his affirmation. But you also testify in receiving Jared as an adult member of this congregation. You also testify in the way in which you live your life. It's not just Jennifer and Brian and raising their child up, their children, but it's all about us also saying yes. Yes. Here is a child of God, and we celebrate. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love and help us to get beyond our sense of comfortableness, because it's in our discomfort that you come and you work wonders and you move us to places we never wanted to go. But in the end, your work is done. Now, come, Holy Spirit. Amen.